Thank you, choir. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. No matter what we face, the Lord goes before us, and the Lord is with us, and the Lord is in us, and we can handle it with Him. Thanks to Jim back on the sound machine. He's the other guy in church this morning with a sick Debbie at home. And by the way, we have a number this week who are missing because they don't feel well, but some of you are back from sickness, and we're glad to have you back. Been gone for a while. Glad to have Ann Blood back and her son Alvin. And Ann was smart. She wore a hat today. I tell you what, the windows here, of course, are frosted, but the back windows, I've got an amazing view of an incredible snow. So I'm going to let you stand up, and I want you to look out. I want everybody to say hi to each other and look out that back door. That is an amazing snowfall out there. Don't miss it. Look out the center aisle. No, it's not going to stick. You don't have to leave. Those are big, beautiful, soft white flakes, and science tells us not two snowflakes are just alike. God is a great creator God. Lord has a sense of humor. Send 84 on Thursday and send snow on Sunday. All right. If you would open your Bibles to the book of Proverbs, and I appreciate Will Purvis, the blank guy, reading about wisdom from the New Testament. And we'll look at wisdom from the Old Testament and also see how it ties into the New Testament this morning. Proverbs is in the middle of your Bible right after Psalms. The Proverbs are God's guidelines for living. God's guidelines for living a good and godly life, living with skill. The Proverbs are pointed, and they are practical, and they are picturesque statements that are intended to impart insight into life and living. In the book of Proverbs, Solomon, son of David, who was given extraordinary wisdom by God and through the power of the Holy Spirit, famous in his day worldwide for his wisdom. Solomon mentioned in the book of Proverbs, in the midst of all the Proverbs, he mentioned the name of God, Yahweh of Israel, 87 times. And the foundation of Proverbs, as we have said in previous weeks, is respect for God and reliance on him. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, Proverbs 1:7. And faith in the Lord is the foundation for wisdom. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, Proverbs 3:5 says. So there is much wisdom literature in the world, and some of the other wisdom literature repeats and agrees with the wisdom of God through Solomon and through the scriptures. But the Proverbs in the Bible are unique because its foundation is fear of the Lord and faith in Him. We're looking at the people of Proverbs, and we looked at the good friend, and we looked at the talker for a couple of weeks. And today we're going to think with the Lord in Proverbs about the person who is arrogant, about the proud person. And Proverbs has a lot to say about pride. The Bible has a lot to say about pride. Interestingly, it's secondary in the English dictionary. And it is certainly secondary in its use in Scripture, but there is a place for a proper kind of pride. Today we're not talking about pride in the sense of accomplishment, task well done. That's a good kind of pride. The dictionary, as a secondary definition, says that pride is respect for oneself, the idea of being made in the image of God. Pride is a sense of worth and dignity, satisfaction in one's achievements or accomplishments. There's nothing wrong with that kind of a healthy, positive pride. But it's interesting, the primary Even in the English dictionary, sense of pride is negative, and certainly it is dealt that way most often in Scripture and in Proverbs. The dictionary says, pride is an unduly high opinion of oneself. It is exaggerated self-esteem. Arrogance is the overbearing pride or self-importance. The arrogant individual, the proud individual, talked about in Proverbs as the person who is haughty and high-minded on himself. Pride in history and in the Bible, we're told, all began with the highest created angel, Lucifer, who became Satan. And Isaiah tells us, "How you have fallen from heaven," referring to the evil one, Satan, "how you have been cast down. You said in your heart, 'I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned above. I will make myself like the Most High God.' But you are brought down to the depths of the pit." And so Lucifer, created in splendor as the highest order of angel, decided he wanted to usurp God's authority and take God's place. And so pride was the first sin in the created universe from the first proud one, the devil. The Bible warns us against pride and tells us that our Savior and Jesus himself said, "I am humble of heart." Isn't it something? God is proud and yet the evil one, God is humble and yet the evil one is so proud. So Solomon has a lot to say about avoiding arrogance in our lives. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 talks about trusting in the Lord with all your heart, not leaning on your own understanding. Look at Proverbs 3, 7 with me. And I hope you'll turn those pages as we look at various Proverbs this morning. We'll be in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 3, 7. The Bible says, "Do not be wise in your own eyes. Rather, fear the Lord and shun evil." So many of the Proverbs are opposites from the first phrase to the second to help us understand. Do not be wise in your own eyes. What's that talking about? It's talking about self-reliance in a world where we are so dependent upon Creator God, Savior God, coming, ruling, Sovereign God, and those snowflakes just keep getting bigger. They're not sticking. I'm impressed with the snow out there today. Anyway, do not be wise in your own eyes. Goes right in line with verse 6. Acknowledge the Lord, and He will direct you. Don't be so self-reliant to think that you can handle this thing called life without the Lord who gives you life. So the context for "do not be wise in your own eyes" is don't think that you can just do it on your own and leave God out of the picture. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. Acknowledge Him. He'll direct your life. Look at verse 34, same chapter. Proverbs 3:34, "He mocks," the Lord does, "He mocks proud mockers." What's a mocker? It's a scorner. It's the scornful. "He mocks proud mockers. God scorns the scornful, but He gives grace to the humble." James 4:6, "God is opposed to the proud, but He gives grace to the humble." To those who scorn God and scorn His word and scorn His truth, God responds. He scorns the scorner, but He gives grace to the humble who know that they need Him and come to Him for his help. Proverbs 6, 16 and 17. We mentioned in the introduction that pride comes from the evil one in the very beginning. And after the fall of man, we all wrestle with arrogance and being filled with ourselves. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 and 17. How high does pride and arrogance and haughtiness rank on God's list of evils? There are six things the Lord hates, Proverbs 6, 16, seven that are detestable to him. And I don't have to go very far down the list, do I? Proverbs 6, 17, haughty eyes that reflect a haughty heart. Pride and arrogance God hates. It's the number one thing on the list out of seven. It's the thing that caused Satan's fall, and he took a third of the holy angels with him who became demons, according to holy scriptures. By the way, Christians aren't the only ones to believe in the occult and Satan and demons, because our Bibles teach us about those spiritual realities. You've heard in the news lately that there are those who are participating in that, witches all across the land who have set specific dates in which they're going to be casting spells this spring against our president. Christians aren't the only ones who believe in the dark side. There are people who worship in the power and reality of Satan around the world, even in our country. There are six things that God hates. The first is pride. Proverbs 8:13. In case we missed it in chapter 6, repetition is a good teacher. Proverbs 8:13, to fear the Lord is to hate evil. To respect God, to respect what he says, is to hate what opposes him. And then the speaking for the Lord, I hate pride and arrogance, evil behavior and perverse speech. God says, I hate pride and arrogance, and I hate the perversity in word and deed that follows along with it. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 2. When pride comes, then comes disgrace. Do you enjoy keeping company with people who are full of themselves? Do you enjoy being around people who brag on themselves, who are preoccupied with themselves? Does that make good company? No, we disgrace ourselves when we're like that. A man all wrapped up in himself makes a really small package. When pride comes, comes disgrace. But with humility comes wisdom. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 10. Pride only breeds quarrels. Me first, it's going to be my way or the highway. Me first, it's my way or no way at all. Pride breeds quarrels. James talks about the fact that we have arguments and conflicts and quarrels because we're so bent on having our own way all the time. Pride only breeds quarrels, but wisdom is found in those who take advice. What an interesting insight in an opposite there. A proud person is always wanting to talk about his way and have his way, and that brings quarrels. But wisdom is found in a person who's willing to listen to somebody else and take a little advice. Maybe somebody else has an idea better than mine. Maybe has some advice worth paying attention to. to. It takes humility to listen, pay attention to somebody else. Proverbs 14 and verse 12. Proverbs 14:12, there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. There is a way that seems right to man. Me first. I'm going to take care of myself. It's all about me. That's the way that seems right so often to fallen human beings. There is a way that seems right to man. I'm going to get it for myself. All the gusto I can get. I'm going to please me. There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. Winston Churchill, in the lobby at Cox South. We make a living by what we get. We make a life by what we give. There is a way that seems right to a man. It is a selfish, sinful way. It leads to death. The wages of sin is death. God deliver us from self-preoccupation. Our country has done a lot for other countries around the world. We've done a lot militarily. We've done a lot financially. We give away a tremendous amount of our resources in foreign aid every year, the United States does. And yet so often in the eyes of the world, and I guess in part we deserve it sometimes, people have a view in the world of the arrogant, ugly American. In the midst of all of our blessings as a country, we want to give the glory to God and we want to be good to others. We don't want to be arrogant about it. We are such a blessed land and such a blessed people. But how often and how awful it is when others in the world, because of the way we sometimes behave, perceive us as ugly, arrogant Americans. There is a way that seems right to a man, the way of pride, and it leads to death. Proverbs 15 and verse 25. Proverbs 15 and verse 25. The Lord tears down the proud man's house, but he keeps the widow's boundaries intact. In other words, the Lord has a way of providing for and protecting those who rely upon him. He also has a way of humbling those who oppose him. Jesus told this story. Let me read it. You just listen. And Jesus told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of good things laid up for many years to come. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry.'" But God said to him, "You rich fool. This very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?" And Jesus concluded the story by saying this, "This is how it will be with anyone. This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich towards God." The rich fool left God completely out of the picture and was relying only on his substance. But Jesus said, even when a man is rich, his life does not consist of his possessions. The Lord tears down the proud man's house, Proverbs 15, verse 25. And so Jesus told a story about that. Proverbs 16, verse 5. The Lord detests, Proverbs 16, 5, all the proud of heart. Be sure of this, they will not go unpunished. A teacher in her grade school class was having some fun with the kids, and she said, supercalifragilisticexpialidocious is a hard word. Who can say it? And all the little kids in the class started trying to say that word from the popular movie. And then she said, abracadabra, who can say it? And all the kids were trying to say abracadabra. And then to teach them about close observation, she said, the answer is it. Who can say it? Who can say it? And then she went on to make this point. The hardest thing in the world to say is, I was wrong. I was wrong. I have sinned. Hardest word, much harder than supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. The Lord detests the proud of heart. They will not go unpunished. The Bible makes it clear, how do we avoid a punishment for our sin? We run to the Savior who took the punishment for us. We repent of our sin. We admit our sin. I was wrong. I have sinned. God is opposed to the proud and detests the proud, but he gives great grace to the humble. James 4:6, James 4:10. Proverbs 16, 18 to 20. Do you notice there's a lot of proverbs on pride? Wow. Pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. Pride goes before a fall, pride goes before a fall, pride goes before a fall. The scripture repeats that. Pride goes before destruction and a fall. Verse 18. Better to be lowly in spirit and among the oppressed than to share plunder with the proud. In light of eternity, it's better to be humble and in a humble situation than to be proud and to think that you don't need God or his righteous standard. Verse 20, whoever gives heed to instruction prospers. Humble enough to listen, humble enough to respond. How many times did Jesus say, he who has ears to hear, let him hear? And blessed is he who trusts in the Lord. Do you see that at the end of verse 20? The foundation of Proverbs and skillful living and wise living is recognizing God and relying on him, trusting in him. Even in the book of Proverbs, people are saved by faith. Blessed is the person who trusts in the Lord, humbles himself, pays attention to God and to his gospel, because self-will leads to fall. Living for self leads to losing it all. Proverbs 16. Verse 18. Jesus told another story. It's amazing how many of his stories illustrate truths from the Proverbs. You'll recognize this one too. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and arrogantly looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. The Proverbs of Solomon and the parable and the parables of the Savior, they match up. It's all the Word of God. So Jesus gives this story, this parable, which illustrates the Proverbs we're talking about today. Jesus said, two men went up to the temple to pray, one a religious Pharisee and the other a despised tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and he prayed all about himself. God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector over here in the temple with me. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector in the temple stood at a distance, and he would not even look up to heaven, but he beat his own chest and he said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Jesus said, I tell you the truth. I tell you that this man, the tax collector, rather than the other, the Pharisee, went home righteous, justified before God. Jesus said, for everyone who exalts himself, God will humble, and he who humbles himself, God will exalt. The Holy Spirit gave Solomon so much to say 1,000 years before Christ on this issue of arrogance. And Jesus comes along and repeats the same truths. Proverbs 21 and verse 4. Haughty eyes, a proud heart, the lamp of the wicked, it's sin. A proud heart showing through haughty eyes, it's sin. Pride is sin, Proverbs 21, verse 4. Not the healthy sense of pride. A sense of satisfaction for a job well done. A sense of self-respect because we're made in the image of God. The problem with healthy pride is it so quickly moves into haughty pride, an exaggerated sense of self-esteem, a wanting to do self-promotion as opposed to promoting the Lord and seeking to promote the good of those around us. Pride is sin, arrogance, haughtiness, conceit. Proverbs 22 and verse 4. Let's turn it around to a positive statement. Humility Humility says, I didn't born myself, I didn't create myself, I can't keep myself alive. I have a God who created me, a God who loves me and died for me. I have a God who's coming again for me, preparing a place in heaven for me. Humility says my life depends on God, physically as well as spiritually. Humility says I'm not the God of my own universe. I'm not the king of my own kingdom. I'm a creature. I'm a servant. By faith in Christ Jesus, I'm a child of the living God. Humility recognizes our place before God and beside others. Humility. I'm not self-made. Humility and the fear of the Lord. Humbleness and respect for God. These will bring wealth and honor and life. Jesus came promising abundant life, and eternal life to those who humble themselves and will have him, the humble Savior and Sovereign of the universe. Humility brings wealth and honor and life. God says so, long term. Proverbs 25, 6 and 7. Solomon writes, "Don't exalt yourself in the king's presence." He had seen a lot of his subjects do that, no doubt. He reigned for 40 years, 971 to 931 BC. Israel was the most powerful kingdom and wealthiest country in the world under the reign of Solomon. Foreign dignitaries traveled to hear his wisdom and to experience and to see his wealth, all God-given. "Do not exalt yourself in the king's presence," King Solomon advises, "and do not claim a place among great men." Verse 7, "It is better for the king to say to you, 'Come up here,' than for him to humiliate you before noblemen and put you in a lesser place." Isn't it interesting that Jesus in the Gospels quoted Proverbs 25, verse 7? Let me read it for you. Jesus gives the same advice Solomon gave. Luke 14 and verse 7. When Jesus noticed how the guests picked the places of honor at the table, he told them this parable or story. When someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor, for a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. If so, the host who invited both of you will come and say to you, 'Give this man your seat.' Then, humiliated, you will have to take the least important place. But when you are invited, take the lowest place," Jesus said, "so that when your host comes, he will say to you, 'Friend, move up to a better place.' Then you will be honored in the presence of all your fellow guests." And Jesus said, the point is this, Luke 14, 11, "For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." Jesus quoted that very proverb that we're looking at. Proverbs 26 and verse 12. Not only is pride sin, pride is foolish. Who are we? We can't even keep our hearts beating, our lungs breathing. Who are we to be arrogant and conceited? Proverbs 26:12, "Do you see a man who's wise in his own eyes? There's more hope for a fool than him." Pride is foolish. Proverbs 27:1, "Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth." James talks about this in chapter 4. "You make all your plans, but you commit them to the Lord. If the Lord wills, I'll do this or that." Plan your way, work your plan, plan your work, work your plan. That's right. But as we make plans, we do so humbly. And we say, if the Lord wills, we'll do this, that, or the other thing. Don't boast about tomorrow. You don't know what a day may bring forth. Be humble, even about your plans and your future. Somehow on Thursday, when it was 84, I didn't think it'd be snowing on Sunday morning. It's let up, hasn't it, guys? Yep. Yep, they're back there nodding. Last verse today, Proverbs 27:2. I love this. Let another praise you and not your own mouth, someone else and not your own lips. If the Lord has helped us to achieve something, and we find satisfaction in our achievement, we can be thankful. But let's not be boastful and bragging about that. Braggadocia. We don't like it in others. It doesn't sound good coming from our lips either. Let another man praise you and not your own mouth. Someone else and not your own lips. Has the Lord enabled you to do something good, do something well? Have you been able to be a blessing to somebody? Let somebody else brag on you. Don't brag on yourself. What a fabulous, wise proverb. If anybody's going to boast, let it not be me about me. Let me boast in the Lord. Will read about that. Let me boast in the Lord, and if anybody's going to boast about me, let it be other people, not me myself. Pride brings attention to oneself. I'll close with David Roper, who says this about pride and humility. David Roper says, I've been on a number of high mountaintops in the U.S. in my life, and I can tell you that not much grows up there. The summits of mountains are bare rock, and the oxygen is so thin, very little plants can survive, some fungus plants and stuff like that. The tops of mountains, because of rocky soil and because of thin air, you don't find an abundance of grain and crops up there. But Solomon wrote Psalm 72. Did you know that? Part of the Psalms was written by Solomon, not just his dad David. And in Psalm 72, Solomon asked God for an abundance of grain on the top of the mountains to characterize his reign as king. Please remember, Solomon's reign was so blessed because he started out so young and humble, and he said, God, I can't rule over this kingdom of Israel. I cannot rule in the place of my father David. Help me, I need your wisdom. And God said, Solomon, in your youthful humility, I will bless you with wisdom and I will bless you with wealth. Solomon prayed for an abundance of grain on the top of the mountains to characterize his reign as king. If grain on the mountain is unusual, even impossible, what is Solomon suggesting in his prayer? David Roper goes on. Solomon is suggesting that God's power can produce results in even the most unpromising soil. Perhaps you think of yourself as a little person with very little to bring to the kingdom. Take courage. God can produce an abundant harvest through you. This is one of the ironies of the Christian faith. God uses the insignificant to accomplish the great. Not many of us are wise or noble. Will Purvis read about this. Most of us are anonymous and far from extraordinary. Yet all of us can be used by God. And contrary to what we might think, it is because of our weakness that we can be used by God. Listen to this statement by David Roper. It's possible to be too big and too proud for God to use you. But biblically, we can never be too little or too humble. Out of weakness, we are made strong. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, the choir sang. By God's great power, we can do all things He has called us to do. The problem is not that we're too small. The problem too often is that we're too high on ourselves, too big for our britches, too stuck on me, me, me. God is opposed to the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. Humble yourself before the mighty hand of God, and He will lift you up. James 4:10. Humble yourself, Solomon says. Humble yourself, Jesus says. Humble yourself, the Bible says. God first, then others, and then me. And that spells joy. Jesus, others, you. J-O-Y. Jesus first, then others, then you. Joy. Lord, thank You for wisdom in life and living. Forgive our sinful pride and replace it with the humility that only You can give. Lord, teach us to respect You and rely on You. Teach us to fear You and place our faith in You. Teach us to trust You. Lord, we don't want to be wise in our own eyes. We admit that too often we're wrong and we sin. Save us from our sin. Fill us with Your Spirit. Lead us in the way everlasting. And Lord, guide us and direct us by Your Spirit, by Your Scriptures, so that we will live wisely, that we will live in humility. Lord, help us to be a blessing to You and a blessing to others. And deliver us from being selfishly preoccupied with our own conceit and arrogance and pride. Lord Jesus, thank You for the wisdom of Your word. Help us so that we don't ever feel the need to brag on ourselves, but we will boast in You. And Lord, we want to be found faithful to You. Someday, if You reward us, thank You. You deserve it all. And if others pay us compliments, thank You. But deliver us from being braggadocio about ourselves. Lord, thank You for the Proverbs. All 50 subjects they talk about, thank You for the wisdom that comes from the Proverbs. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Let's stand together.
Let's all stand, please. Number 363, please. 363, turn your eyes upon Jesus. 363. O soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Through death into life everlasting, He passed and we follow Him there. Over us
sin no more hath dominion, for more than conquerors we are. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. His word shall not fail you, he promised. Believe him and all will be well. Then go to a world that is dying, his perfect salvation to tell. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
Jesus said that anybody who humbly comes to me, I will never drive them away. His word shall not fail you, he promised. Heaven and earth will pass away, Jesus said, but my words will never pass away. His word shall not fail you, he promised. Believe him, and all will be well. Wow. Believe him, and all will be well. John Turley is at home on his deathbed under hospice care, and he said to me on Friday, he said to me, Pastor, I'm just ready to go home to heaven. And John's not scared. And he's confident because his word shall not fail you, he promised. Believe him and all will be well, even when you're on your deathbed. Believe him and all will be well. Thanks for coming. Blessings.